I feel approaching the subject matter of Lokya Bollinger, I really want to deal with the big issues that we have in our society, and never mind society, within the culture of what is today's church in this city, in this nation, and maybe even in the world, where we are so concerned about the opinion of others that they shape and form our morals, our ethics, and the way and our spirituality, which is so far from the truth of God's Word, where God's Word needs to shape, form our morals, our ethics, and our spirituality. And so I hope as we uncover these various issues, we've got two more Sundays to go, and today's subject is it's fun, it's a little weightier, but you're going to enjoy it. And the title for this morning is Speak the Truth. Everybody say, Speak the Truth. Very good. A store manager heard his clerk tell a customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look as if we're getting any soon." Horrified, the manager came running over to the customer and said, "Of course we'll have some soon. We placed on order last week." Then the manager drew the clerk to the side. He said, "Never," he snarled, "never, never, never say we're out of anything. Say we've got it on order and it's coming. Now, what was it she wanted anyway?" The clerk said, "Rain." Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25, and then going into 5 and 2, it says, "Therefore, put away lying." Everybody say, "Therefore."
Therefore.
"Put away lying." Thank you. "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, for what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Lying is a big deal to God. God, the Bible tells us, God never lies, because He is truth, the absolute truth, the ultimate truth. One of the Ten Commandments, the second last commandment, is, "Thou shalt not lie." Do not lie. But our society, our lives are filled with lies. Can you recall the last time you lied? Can you recall the situations and circumstances when you lied to your spouse, to your parents, to a friend, to a neighbor, to one of your work colleagues, to somebody on the phone who called you about something? I mean, lying is so much a part of who we are and what we do that sometimes we don't even know that we are on this great roller coaster of lies and deceit. What is a lie? It's a false statement deliberately presented as being true. So what's a lie? It is a false statement that is deliberately presented as being true. Falsehood. Something meant to deceive or to give a wrong impression. There are seven lies that we find us as human beings will be caught up in. There's a lie that is slander, where we run somebody down, or talebearing, where we tittle-tattle on somebody. Insinuation, where we pass a comment, we say something about somebody or a circumstance or situation to insinuate something. We leave questions in the air. There's flattery. "Oh, you look so good today." Half-truths, exaggerations. I mean, there were 80 people there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, yeah. I just added a zero. Zeros don't count. Excuses. I mean, come on. You're late at work. You're pressed. It's the fifth time you're late at work. I'm so sorry. My train had a flat tire. Actually, you slept in. So why do we lie? Why do people lie? Or better still, let's bring that even closer to home. Do followers of Christ lie? Anybody out there? It's nice to say people lie. But do followers, those people who put their trust and their faith in Christ, do we lie? Surely not. I mean, we are Christians. We have the Bible. We speak the truth. We sing the truth. We pray the truth. And sometimes even in a language that nobody else understands. I mean, we are so spiritual and religious. There are lots of reasons that could motivate people to tell lies. Even though each reason might be different from the others, still, all of them stem from one root cause, which is being unable to bear the consequence of telling the truth. The ability to lie and not realize is a unique gift that human beings have. It's a gift that does not come from God. It comes from the sin nature of man. It was where the first deceptive lie was presented to man at the point of after creation, where Adam and Eve were deceived. I say Adam and Eve were deceived, not Eve. Adam and Eve were equally deceived into believing a lie. Not only do we trick others when we lie, but we are able to convince ourselves of something that is not true to be true. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not just about what we do for others, it's how that lie becomes a reality for you and me. We have the amazing knack of creating a reality where the very foundations are established on lies. And we're going to uncover in these next 24 minutes how God and how we together can partner with God to break away from this cycle and habit that's at your upbringing, that you find yourself in, and to find the courage and strength to speak and live and lead your life in truth. A lie has no legs, said Austin O'Malley. It requires other legs to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth won't make it last any longer. Those who think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. I like that statement. Lying requires a lot of effort. Psychologically, in my research, I was looking at what impact does lying have on us as human beings, just as mortal human beings psychologically. Lying requires a tremendous amount of energy and effort. When you tell the truth, you simply remember what happened. But a lie requires you to conjure up, create things that don't exist. So that is energy. When you lie, you have to consider what you're trying to hide. Figure out a believable version of the opposite. Give a convincing performance to sell that lie. And then remember it for the rest of eternity so you never get caught. You see that whole sequence and chain of events. Research tells us that, men, I love you guys, but let me just say this to you anyway. Men tell twice as many lies as women. Pamela Mayer, a deception expert, claims the average person lies 3 times within the first minute of talking to a stranger, and 10 to 200 times a day. Now, think about your interactions with somebody that's really new. How are you doing? I'm fine. Where do you live? Oh, I live. Not in such a nice address, so you say, I live here. And what do you do? Oh, well, actually, I sweep the roads. Well, in England, sweeping the roads is you get well paid, but it's not something someone wants to tell you about. So what do you do? Oh, I do road maintenance. It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy because what are we doing? We're trying to convince somebody else of something that we are not, and we're trying to hide or preserve something, the truth of who we are, where we are, what we are doing. And you've got to ask yourself the question, why? I think, Houston, we've got a problem. Fear is at the root of our choosing to lie. Fear of consequence, fear of lok kya bolenga, fear of what will happen if I don't speak the truth. Lying is done when we lack the courage to speak the truth and to stand up. We lie sometimes because a lack of problem solving, where you just fatkao it. You know, at work, your boss says, so what's the... I think it's this, if we do this, do that, do that. He's out the door. Think, oh my God, Google it, quick. Well, how do I get it? I told him this, so I need to produce. We just fatkao it. How many of you fatkaoed something? Oh, I was only fatkaoing. I mean, I wasn't lying. The lack of ability to unexpected may make escaping from a situation as a much better option than facing it. So we lie ourselves through it, right through it. I mean, we... Lie, left, right, center, and then we walk out thinking, I'm scot-free. Oh, it feels so good. And then we go to bed at night, and all of a sudden, it hits us. If the person values honesty, or he is religiously observant, then he may try to escape the situation without lying. But if lying is an option, then it will definitely be considered the easier way out. I remember I was just taking liberties and I was sitting around the table of some of the senior leaders in the church, and I had been asked to do a little task, some research work or something like that on the internet, and we were now meeting at a dinner party, and sitting across the table, I had completely forgotten to do that, what somebody had asked me to do. And across the table, across 10 people on a round table, came this boomy question. So, Ian, did you get that job done? And you know those moments where you feel, oh my God, you're so exposed. You feel like you're naked. You know, trying to make a good impression of you've just taken on some new, you've got to be doing everything right. Oh yeah, I got it done. And the guy looked at me and said, why are you looking so pale? It's because I had just fatkaoed myself right through that situation. And I remember choking over my meal for the rest of the evening, thinking, why did I lie? Why did I fatkao it? Justify. No, it's okay. I'll go back home. And before he can get home, I'll make sure the email's sent and apologize and say, I meant to send this email. It was in my inbox, but it never left. Therefore, it's coming out to you now. And it's like the whole evening, my mind was working. Any of you been there, done that? You know what I'm talking about? Come on. I mean, just fatkaoing. There's another word for it out in the world, but it was just fatkaoing. However, there are two main reasons why we all give in to lying. We lie because we lack self-esteem. And to keep up our self-worth, when those are attacked or compromised, we want to give in to lying. Lying corrodes our self-esteem. When we lie and we continue to lie, even small white lies with our spouses. Honey, where have you been? Oh, I just went around the corner. Which corner were you around? It was miles away. Oh, never mind that. So, honey, how much did you spend on that dress? Oh, it was just under 3,000. How much exactly was it? Oh, you don't want to know. Half-truth, concealing, deception. You see those in the few moments. Why? Because you're fearful of what your spouse might say. You're fearful of the outcome of not speaking the truth. And then somebody finds the receipt in the pocket and says, oh, is that what you really spent? Oh, boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, there's confrontation. There's mistrust, deception, lies. It affects our lives. So lying corrodes our self-esteem and compromises our self-worth to the extent that we eventually begin to hate ourselves, because we do not like the person we have become. And what's worse is when we are caught in a web of deception and lies, we are ultimately only lying to ourselves. But here's three reasons, primary reasons, why you and I will give in to lying. One is because of shame. We do not want to feel shamed because of something we have not done, should have done, or that we will feel shamed if we speak the truth. The second is blame. Can I shift the blame onto somebody else? Can I say it is somebody else's fault? The third one is fame, where we want to present ourselves to be this amazing, magnanimous, wonderful person, and therefore we present a persona of ourselves that is not true. So it's shame, blame, fame. What are the three things? Shame, blame, and fame. I want to bring up some typical lies that men say. 10 lies that you might... Nothing's wrong, I'm fine. Well, this was my last Coke. Never mind that one. No, your bottom doesn't look that big in it. I had no signal. My battery died. Sorry I missed your call. I didn't have that much to drink. I'm on my way. It wasn't that expensive. I'm stuck in traffic. Those are very... This is from research. And the 10 lies that women tell. Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Oh, isn't new. I've had it for ages. It wasn't that expensive. It was in the sale. I'm on my way. Where are you in Delhi? All right. I expect to see you in Bombay. I don't know where it is. I haven't touched it. I didn't have that much to drink. I've got a headache. No, I didn't throw it away. Sorry, I missed your call. This is from some research, the 10 most popular lies that men and women tell. So let's dispel some myths about lying. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
All right. Here's the first myth that we believe is that lying works. And here's the myth I want to dispel. Lying never works. The second myth I want to deal with is white lies are okay. God understands. God does not understand, and neither will people. White lies are lies. Lying is so much easier than speaking the truth. You know, for the moment where we have developed the ability and the technique and the skill and the creativity to cover or hide something that is truthful and present a lie, it seems almost the easier thing to do. Wrong. It is much easier to speak the truth. It is just that in our society and in the way that we have been brought up, whatever it is, we are predisposed or conditioned ourselves to lie. And lying helps me and fudge myself through any situation and come out a winner. Momentarily, perhaps, but you are robbed of the joy of accomplishment, of truly having worked yourself through to a point where you have done what you have done based on truth. George Bernard Shaw said, "The liar's punishment is not in the least that he is not believed, but that he cannot believe anyone else." When we get wrapped up in a situation, in a series, in a life of lying and deception, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, they're big lies that you're telling, whatever the lie is, on the phone, text, we've got to learn to be truthful in our interactions with people. We've got to learn to be truthful. If they ask you a question and you don't know the answer, don't fatkao. Just say, malamaiti nai. I don't know. I mean, how hard is that? Rather than, oh yeah, yeah. And you're thinking, this guy is winging it. Don't you know? People are winging it. They go on and on. You're thinking, you're winging it. Just tell me you don't know. We've been there. We've probably done that. We've been on the receiving end of it. Now, why is it that lying is so much easier than speaking the truth? Or why is that perception? It's because our nurture and our nature, our sin nature and our nurture are two things that if they are not sorted out in our formative years, we will develop a habit of lying. If you grow up in a home where you are made to perform a certain way to certain expectations that you cannot keep, what will you do to present yourself in a way that is presentable to your parents? You would lie. You see, in my home, many years ago, my mom smoked, my dad smoked, then my sister began to smoke, my brother smoked. And so I tried it as well. But I tried it behind closed doors because I was underage and we'd buy four square, all of us young guys, in some guy's home, put the fan on full blast and smoke our way through, and then somebody walks through and goes, open the windows, put the fan on, get the smoke out. And were you smoking? Go home and you're stinking of smoke, and mom's, where you been? Nowhere. Even though in my own home, smoking was an acceptable thing. But I wanted to present myself to my parents as a non-smoker. But I'm sure if I said that, I had a puff or two, my mom may not have beaten the living daylights out of me, may have corrected me. But I never had the courage or the strength to tell her, "Mom, we were all smoking down at so-and-so's house, and we had a good time doing it." Because I was afraid of what the consequences would be. I remember we were in a new church in London, and I was given the responsibility to photocopy some sheets, and I never knew this photocopier, this silly photocopier, had a counter on it. And so I put about 100, I was set it up to count, to print 100 sheets for the worship team the following day, and the pastor said, "Press this button, press that button," and it'll automatically do it. So it was doing it. And then I wanted to speed it up, I wanted to do something, so I stopped the thing and I changed it, and it all went haywire. And just then the pastor walks in, "Hi, how are you doing?" And then I'm sweating it out here. New guy, trying to make an impression in this new church, trying to show how great I am at doing my job. I'm sweating it out here. And "Have you finished copying?" "Yes, I finished copying." "How many copies have you done?" "No, I've done 100 copies. He says, "Okay, can you enter it into the book there?" "Book? Book? What book? You mean there was 199 and now there will be 199 plus 100, but it's only 84 on here. I've just lied to the pastor." I remember sweating it out. How old was I? 22 or something like that. But why did I lie? Why didn't I just say, "I messed it up"? Hey, but I needed to look good. My self-worth, my self-esteem, I needed to protect that. But eventually it got exposed when I put 84 copies. "See you later." Come on, we've been there, we've done that. And that taught me a life lesson when I reviewed why I lied. When the man was not even questioning my integrity, he was just asking me the question. He got the job done. He was just holding me to account. So we have got to learn that lying is not a situation we need to put ourselves into or even for a moment consider as an option. More so, followers of Christ. And we proclaim Him to be the truth. We proclaim to have been changed from the inside out by the power of God, where price was paid for us on the cross, where He took away our sin nature, where He has taken away our old self, and we have now the new nature of Jesus Christ. So, the question I have, can I live a life free from the need to lie? Because you will have need to lie right now. 30 seconds from now, 100 minutes from now, a day from now, you will have a need to lie. But can I live free from that need to lie? Telling the truth will rarely ever shame you. You see, many of us believe that if I speak the truth, the consequences are going to be so dire and adverse. Therefore, we lie. But we need to rechange our thinking, align it to the Word of God, and know that when we speak the truth, very rarely will we be ever shamed. I mean, think of the famous for months strung on about the affair that he was supposed to have never had. Eventually, after all that TV time and all that creative manipulating and politicking, he comes out and says, "I am sorry." After all of that, why couldn't he have said it up front? The world forgave him. Nations forgave him. Leaders forgave him. It's amazing the three powerful words that we have that are on our lips. "I am sorry. I blew it. I never meant to say that. I never meant to do that. I wish I had not done it. I am sorry." In our relationships with our spouses, three powerful words. "I am sorry." In our friendships, when things have gone wrong, have the courage to go to them and say, "You know what? I don't like what you did. It really hurt me. And I'm sorry for what happened. But you really matter to me. I am sorry." Rather than the creativity that we have to talk behind somebody's back or to create images and stories in our mind that sometimes have no bearing to the facts or to the reality. Telling the truth will make you appear brave. I think our world is such a forgiving world, and people are so forgiving, we forget sometimes just how forgiving people are. When we come up and are honest about our circumstances or situations. The other thing that telling the truth does is it reduces stress. It reduces the unnecessary working of your brain that creates the stress right through your entire body. Why? Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. It was not just talking about Jesus being the truth and the truth of the salvation that comes through relationship in Jesus Christ. Jesus was addressing a lifestyle of truth. If you live in truth, no matter how hard or difficult your circumstances are, no matter how corrupt the situation you are in, if you have the courage to stand up and to speak the truth, you will be free. So, how can I live free from the need to lie? Three things. Love the truth. We have got to learn to love to speak the truth. We have got to understand and know the truth of God's word and the power that it has to help us to speak the truth. We've got to live the truth. So it's not just about what we confess and profess, but it's how we live our lives. And we must lead with truth. I have found sometimes in the most difficult of circumstances, in the most compromising of situations, all it takes is one person to identify what the lie is, what's wrong, and to stand up and say, hey guys, this is not the way for us to go about. This is where we need to head. And you will find most people will pivot themselves eventually to the truth. I found that in my leadership through the years, through some very trying and difficult circumstances. If you can sift through the chaos that lies in the web of deception, you find the truth and you bring that up, people will rally behind it. Look at Anna Hazare, a man, as far as we're concerned, has no relationship with Jesus Christ, perhaps has never read the Bible. But he stood up for what? Truth. Omission. Because he was willing to offend the corruption. He never offended the people, he offended what they did by presenting the truth. Christ never offended the people, he offended what they did. You see, what we mix up is we want to offend the person rather than what they do. What they do is offensive to God, not who they are. The truth is that every one of us has been created and fashioned and formed in the nature of God, and we're all at different stages and levels in our walk with God. And so we must be embracing of one another. But if somebody is going through a challenge, we must be able to speak the truth in love and to bring them up to a higher place. If I'm drowning, I would much rather have you come alongside me and give me some oxygen rather than to turn my oxygen tank off and say, you know what? You deserve it. You lied. No, that's why you're so deep. It's God getting back at you. My God doesn't get back at me. God puts you in place to rescue me. The Bible says that when your brother is down, go up there and pick him up. Amen. When he can't breathe, help him. Not say, so good, I'm so glad. I told you, I was praying for this only. Come on, have you heard this nonsense? And I'm not talking about outside of these walls, in what we consider to be the church of God. Come on, that's not the way of Christ. That's our own naked ambition, sin nature that needs to be dead. So when we love the truth, we live the truth, and lead with truth, we can live our lives with no need to lie. I want to create in our midst an arena, and you've heard me say this before, where we can be real. Where whoever you are, wherever you have come from, whatever your challenges are, we will walk with you. We will work with you. We will help you through the most difficult of circumstances because your end point is not where you are now. You need to see me not where I am now, but where I am headed. I need to see you not where you are now, but where you are headed. and then do everything within my power to get behind you, to get you there. Isn't that good? Remove the drag factor. Remove the weights. Remove the tittle-tallying, all that kind of stuff that lies brings in. And bring in truth. When fear is removed and we have a space where we can be honest about our struggles, our challenges, our trials, habits, and addictions, we create the space for people to not lie. I grew up in church where I was not supposed to see movies. I was not supposed to watch television. There was a rule, an unwritten rule book that came from the pulpit that created me into a person that was not happy with who I was, because when I sat in the theater, I felt condemned. If I had a sip of shandy, I thought I had sinned. And those things were more important than me living a righteous life. Those things were considered as righteousness. My God, God doesn't care which theater you go to. He's more concerned about what's happening on the inside of you and what your thoughts are and what your attitudes are. He's not worried about whether you wear long skirts or short skirts, some no makeup or some makeup. He couldn't care less about that. He's concerned about the inner man, the forming of the inner character. I can take you to churches where everybody doesn't look like who they're supposed to look like. In other words, the males look like females and the females look like males, but they all love God. I can take you to churches where everybody dresses in pink and purple and blue and they all love God. Because on the outside, they may look as happy and gay as you want them to be, but on the inside, they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they love God. And I cannot say to them, you need to change the color of your shirt, your shoes, and then you'll come to... No, that is something with them and God. What about the hidden sin that we have that nobody knows about? The stuff at home that we present ourselves because we've got to protect ourselves. This is who I am, but back home, we are on the internet. Page after page, we're hitting the bottle, but when we come to church, we've gargled our mouth and we look fresh as fresh can be. Or when we're not at church, it's because we've got a hangover from Saturday night. Come on. I've been with people. I know the struggles. Create an environment. Create a place and a space where we can be real. I think the church must be the messiest place on earth. Why? Because the messiest people walk in. But that's the place where the work takes place. It's a workshop. It's an constant, ongoing workshop. Furnace one place, somewhere else there's a drill, somewhere else there's a grinder, somewhere else there's a grater. You know, all the various things in our life are being sorted. If I need a bit of heat, put me in the furnace. If I need a bit of shining, put me where I need to be shined up. If I need a bit of grating, put me in the grating section. Let's plane off everything. But it's us working together. And when we all come through on that conveyor belt, we're all looking good. Amen. That's what I want for us. We need to learn to be secure in who we are. Take responsibility for our thoughts, words, and deeds. Develop the discipline of telling the truth always, no matter the consequence. And make our lives accountable to the right people. I'm going to end with this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 11 says, don't lie to one another. You've done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes where you stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Amen. You encouraged? This is a difficult subject, but it is a real issue we all face. And I want us to be liberated in our relationships, in our lives. So three reasons why we lie is because blame, shame, and fame. Three ways that we can live our lives from the need to lie is to love the truth, to live the truth. We're going to go to a time of communion. I want each of us to assess our own lives. Say, God, how can I change how I present myself to people? How can I be real in who I am? How can I not be manipulative or lying or deceptive in any of my relationships? Whether in the church, outside of the church, with my parents, with my friends, with my colleagues, with my spouse. Lord, how can I be me? Just where I am, who I am, because I'm on a journey to where you want me to be. Let's just take all our needs and concerns to God as we share communion. And as you share communion, there is power as we break bread. There is power as you drink that cup of redemption, knowing that God can redeem every situation that you're facing right now. He can buy you back and bring you back to hope and a sense of truth and reality. Let's pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.